This evening, Dale and Donna Mitchell are with us. Dale is the Regional Development Officer for Eastern European Missions, and periodically he drops in. Appreciate the work that he and Donna do. They live in the Waco area, right? And so today they have been traveling around. They were in Killeen and then Bertram, and now here this evening. And I asked Dale, I put him on the spot a little bit, so I'll acknowledge that right off the bat, but I asked if Dale would just go ahead and share a little bit about the work that's going on with EEM, and really share whatever else you think that it'd be good for us to know this evening. So I'm going to turn it over to Dale for just a few minutes this evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Can you hear all right? Oh,
yep.
That sounds better. I appreciate Rob setting this up on the spur of the moment. And my first question always is, when this happens in this circumstance, I'll say, well, what version do you want? The 45-minute, the 30-minute, the 20-minute, or the 10-minute? And so I'll cater to any size group and talk as long as you want me to, but I try to use discretion and make it not so hard on everyone. Okay? Thank you. How many of you know something about EEM? Just raise your hand so we can kind of get a, oh, that's good. Several of you. Yeah. So Donna and I have been a part of this work for 20 plus years now. I started working with them in a capacity of going over to Russia and teaching schools in Russia, in their public schools where these children go, and we were teaching the Bible. And that started actually in 1999 officially, but do you remember when the communist Soviet Union failed and crashed and went down? What year was that? 1989 and 90. EEM began in 1961, so we're about 55 years into this work. And it easily pulls in older people, middle-aged, and younger folks. There's something for everyone. And our motto was and has been to this day, the Bible, we want everyone to get it, especially if they are in Russia, Ukraine, and Eastern Europe, in those countries. The way that we got them in the first 28 years of EEM's existence, that is how we got the Bibles in, was against their law because they didn't want any of their people in Russia, Ukraine, or any of the other Eastern European countries. They were banned. The leaders of Russia made it very clear, this is a myth. There's nothing to it. We ban you from using it. If you buy it and get it in any form, and we find out, you're going to have to pay reprisals, and they'll be serious. We don't always obey the laws of leaders in lands around the country, do we? Now, God tells us we need to do that as much as we can. But there's a higher law than God, a higher law from anyone in lands like that. And so we knew that God would bless this work beginning 55 years ago to penetrate those nations with copies of His Word. And that would have been in the Russian language, and now in more recent years, it's the language of the other countries. Albania, Hungary, Romania, all of those lands now no longer belong to Soviet Russia because that's all gone. And God has blessed this work so much over the years, and we've been able to see things that we would have never thought would happen in our lifetime. And the opening of doors to the opportunity of grown-ups and young ones getting the Bible in their schools. 1991 was the first time we walked into that water to test it, and the mission, the Ministry of Education, that's what they call themselves, the ministry or a minister of education, is like being responsible for public education all over a state, for an entire state. And Vladimir Skovorodnikov, I believe was his name, he came to EEM with a plan in 1999, and he said, I've thought about this. We have worked towards the goal of this happening for several years now. We believe it's absolutely necessary for the future of our country, and especially to the benefit and blessing of our children as they grow up. And what was that blessing and recommendation that Dr. Skovorodnikov was pointing us to? To use the Bibles primarily, not entirely, but primarily for the sake of the young people and the children. We figured out that was probably true, that it was true. And so we had our first ever $1 million Sunday drive in 1999. I don't remember the number of schools, but it was several hundred, if not over 1,000. The number of Russian children that took part in it was 430,000 in the Barnaul region of central Russia. Can you imagine that? Well, in time, Russia and other ministers of education gave us their blessing to do this. They had to kind of do it quietly and on their own without drawing attention to themselves because of the law. And they didn't want to do anything to contradict what we were trying to do and were beginning to do in penetrating the schools with Bibles. So God gave us a fresh new start in that direction. And in the next few years, there was other curriculum being added besides learning to study the Bible over certain texts in the regular Bible that they would study from. The specialty field that came into the picture at that point in time is what we now call Christian ethics or Christian development. All right? Why would that be so important? To have children and young people involved in Christian ethics. Do you see something big in the picture on how necessary it is and can be, and the lives that it can change, regardless of what part of the world or what country you might think about? Here's one of the factors that reinforce the fact that you're doing what we need to do in providing these Bibles. Through that curriculum, the head of education in the nation of Ukraine had some of the academia in Ukraine work on this curriculum. There were several directions that this curriculum was worked on, and EEM was involved in that as well. But the head educator in Ukraine just about a year and a half ago came to his cabinet in the capital, which is Kiev, the capital, right? And he called his board in and he said, I've noticed in recent months that there are little dots on the map of our country, but they're just kind of thrown around like this, somewhat isolated. Well, what were the dots for? And he was really perplexed. He needed help from his counsel to know what this was all about. And then he said he started noticing more of these meetings and more of these pursuits of these values in the schools. And so he looked at his staff one day and said, so tell me, what is the common denominator here? bad behavior is going down through the floor. Test scores for school and graduation are going out the roof. What's happening here? Who's got the answer to it? What was the common denominator? There it was. That became the most popular course in schools all the way up through high school than had been seen in a long time anywhere else. And initially, that course was what we would call in our schools an elective. You with me? To graduate from your high school and to go off to college, you got to have so many hours of required text and study, but you could now and then pick out one or two or three electives and trade it off with something else. At that time, about 60 or 70% of Russian and Ukrainian children were going to this study based again on the fact it was an elective. Finally, the decision was made in the last year, and that decision was, we are going to make that curriculum, Christian ethics, as mandatory for graduation in all of our high schools all over our countries. I'm just tingling right now. Did that cause you to tingle a little bit? You know, we've been hearing the news and especially the politics for more months than we would ever want to hear them in a given day. And I'm not going to give you an instruction on the politics and the candidates and all of that. But we are in trouble. We are in serious trouble in our own country. So amazingly, as we look back into the history of Russia, i.e. the Soviet Union, what really brought them down? It wasn't a major war with Russia and the United States or anything like that. But the whole system collapsed. Why? Why did it collapse? Because the leaders of communism in those countries had banned the having of and utilizing the Bible in their... There's a word there I'm fishing for, but I can't get him on the rod in just a moment. But that's what it was. The nations went down because they didn't have any access to the Bible or to studies that would want the children to be good citizens, to build a model of life based around the Scriptures and the Bible. What else is going to transform lives if it's not the Word of God, right? So we're thrilled that for a lot of years now, we continue this journey. But we will not be able to finish the task without the help of brothers and sisters like yourselves here at Leander. And I know for a fact, at least probably 4 or 5 years tradition now, y'all have sent a gift for the Million Dollar Sunday Project. That's usually been in somewhere around October or late October. And y'all have chosen 3 or 4 or 5 good, workable ministries and have included EEM in that. And I would be remiss if I were to not bring that up and to thank you from the depths of our hearts, because it's the brothers and sisters who love this ministry, who believe in it, that are keeping us alive and moving forward. And we know that God will continue to bless all of that. Let me kind of draw it to a close by saying we want to be responsible parents and grandparents. We want our children to be brought up in the Lord. Amen? It was all those years in the communist Russia and Soviet Union they weren't able to have it. And consequently, their system just totally collapsed on itself. And God had already gone to work on leaders in Russia and on Ukraine to take the initiative to step forward and say, this is what the answer is. You've got to put the Word of God in the schools and let them grow up with the same type of heritage that we have grown up in and are still working with our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We couldn't even think about that being taken away once we've gone this far in the plan. Half of the nation of Ukraine, 50% at least, have now received their Bibles in their classrooms, in their regions. And the stories of life-changing importance just continue to come in. So, all of that said, we're still pushing the Bibles. No, we're not pushing. They're inviting us to bring the Bible. And what happened in recent months with this major refugee outpouring of people going from place to place, trying to find a new place to live and start over, a lot of folks said, oh, what a disaster. That's just a disastrous picture. I would beg to disagree with that, because while it looks on the surface to be a disaster, guess what is happening? They opened the doors and the floodgates came pouring through, and we had various nations, especially coming through Eastern Europe, many coming from the nations of the Middle East, and many of them were just looking for somewhere that they can live for part-time, briefly, till they could find a home and be reassigned to another nation. And our brethren scattered all over those regions, and their church leaders, many of whom had to give up their places of worship because of the war that started 2.5 or 3 years ago over in eastern Ukraine. But all of those folks who are brothers and sisters in Christ of ours started reaching out immediately to these refugees with humanitarian aid and giving them places to sleep, clothing to put on their back. Even if it was just, again, for a short period of time as they moved and eventually were assigned to the country that they would be placed in. And many of those people in the flow of the refugees learned that they could have copies of the Bible themselves in the languages that they would know and understand, which are Urdu and Farsi and Arabic. Those were the nations. And EEM has been working on that project the last 2 or 3 months. We committed to put out 100,000 Bibles in those languages so that they could be readily supplied and given to those people who perhaps in their whole lifetime, especially if they were from Muslim descent, would not have been given the opportunity to embrace the Word of God as they are now. We know it's still a risky business, still dangerous. The brutality of the ISIS group, others in Muslim thinking and understanding are quick to say, if you get that Bible and you start reading that Bible, which is contrary to what we want to teach you, like in the Quran, you'll die. You'll die as a Christian as you claim to be. Well, they never had an option. But now they are openly and freely making their stand to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God with other believers. So it's okay if they have to take a risk, because they've already decided in their hearts this is what God would have us do. So you'll be hearing more about that interaction with the countries of that region of the world. So be praying for all the young people and all the various states and countries, and now for this new opportunity that God has come our way with. It really, really will just kind of sometimes pin you to the wall. Could God actually do that? Could he, if he's going to do it one more time, he can do that? Yes, he can do that. And we do that together, arm in arm, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So, I hope I didn't go too long, but thank you for the invitation. And thank you, sweet folks, for letting me do that. And I will be hanging around a little bit after the close. Don and I will be right out the doors there. So we'll try to answer any questions or clarify anything if you'd like. Thank you.
Dale, thank you so much for sharing what God is doing all throughout the world. I know I'm incredibly encouraged by that. Two bits of really good news, just to reiterate it. I won't say it as eloquently as Dale did, but many of these countries required courses in the Bible. How cool. How cool is that? And then we got this issue with the refugees, but through that, what we'd say is something that's bad and dark and even horrible situation, folks are coming to know Jesus through the study of the Word. Again, just like you said, God is at work, and it's so good to hear that. Thanks for coming today and sharing that good news. I know it's refreshing to my soul, and I'm sure it is to everybody else's as well. So, tonight we were going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're not going to tonight. We were going to be in 1 Corinthians 7. If you want, tonight you can go home and read verses 12 through 24. And I'm okay to have another week to think through this text and what I was going to say this evening. This is some tough material. The other day when I was talking about the Apostle Paul, you know how Peter had said that some of Paul's teachings and instructions are really tough. And I was saying about Colossians, I don't think that's what Peter was referring to. You know, Colossians, it's Jesus, set your life on Him. Perhaps he was thinking about passages like 1 Corinthians 7, what we were supposed to study tonight, but what we'll look at next week. And so perhaps tonight or throughout the week, you can read through 1 Corinthians 7. So Dale, thanks for coming and saving me from working through 1 Corinthians 7 for this evening. We were in it at a deep level last week, and so we'll just go ahead and wait and do that. Work through 1 Corinthians 7 again next Sunday. Like I said, I'm just really encouraged and all the more have my eyes opened to our great God and what He's doing. And I'm so appreciative of you all and for your commitment to the good news of Jesus Christ, and specifically in Eastern Europe, but I know really throughout the whole world people are coming to know Jesus, and that's ultimately what it's all about. So Rob's going to lead us in a song, of course, tonight. If there's anyone that needs the prayers of the assembly, let us know. We'd be glad to pray for you. Or if tonight you're ready to give your life to Jesus in baptism, we would love to witness you do that this evening. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward as we stand and continue to worship our God.